Hello, and welcome to the Major Gifts Fundraiser Podcast. I'm Monica Van Deventer. Let me tell you a little bit about the tribe we're building here at Major Gifts Fundraiser. We're working with people like you who want to be among the very best in this field. You want to accomplish great things. You want to challenge yourself. You want to grow, and you are up for going on a journey because you know a journey is what it takes to become the very best version of yourself. You're listening to this podcast because you know that in order to be a great fundraiser, you have to spend time thinking about how you'll be a great fundraiser. You can learn more about our new online training programs at majorgiftsfundraiser.com. And without further ado, here's Clark.
Buenos dias, mis amigos. Clark Van Deventer here from Major Gifts Fundraiser. Hope that you are having a great day. All right, I'm already having a great day. For me, it's Connection Friday. So a little insight about me and how I plan how my life is arranged. I have no recurring meetings on my calendars on Fridays. I sometimes joke that if you're on my calendar on a Friday, it means I really like you. These are people who I'm really intentional about connecting with. So my Tuesdays, Wednesdays, not that I don't like you if you're on my calendar on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I do like you. My Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays are full. It's like every Tuesday I have a 10 o'clock, I have an 11 o'clock, I have a 1, I have a 2, I have a 3, I have a 4 on Zoom. And that's my life. And I love it. Why do I love it? Because to quote, I'm obsessed with this quote lately, to quote George Bernard Shaw, this is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one, being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clot of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it when I can. All right, this part. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. Whew! All right, I feel alive today. All right, and look, I feel alive on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays when I'm on one Zoom call after another. But Fridays are different. And one of my favorite things to do on Fridays is to try to connect with people who I love and value, people who I feel like they're in my life for a reason, even if I'm not sure what that reason is yet. And I've got a few of those calls scheduled today. So I am excited. But for today's topic, I'm going to share with you something that just, it was a recurring theme on coaching calls this week. And I was talking with my wife about this morning. And as we were talking this morning, I'm like, this is a podcast. So longtime listeners of the podcast know I'm into trail running. I love trail running. I love it. 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 In fact, some of you know I have been injured 7 months ago. I broke my ankle and it's just been a hard recovery. I am testing it a little bit, going on some short runs. Went on a run this week and hurt it again. I mean, like I'm still walking on it, limping around. It's just a hard recovery. Talk to a physical therapist. It's a hard recovery. Anyway, there's a mantra in trail running. This is like a thing. It's a joke, but there's truth to it. And here's the deal. As I'm looking at the trail, and I'm running on this trail and I can see the trail kind of bends here and it's going to go around this little, you know, hairpin turn. And I have some elevation I'm climbing and there's a rock and there's a root and there's this other little natural feature. And in this little spot here, here's the mantra. If you're not sure if you should take 2 steps or 3, take 4. Right? You're like, wait, okay, foot here, foot here, foot here, and I'm off. Right? But if you're not sure if you should take two steps or three, take four. That's how you ensure that you've got good footing. That's how you ensure you don't have a face plant, right? If you're not sure if you should take two steps or three, take four. And this is the lesson that we fundraisers need to learn and we need to embrace. It's add steps to the process. So let me give you an example that came up this week. So college president goes to Michigan. He has a board member in Michigan. That board member has arranged for a breakfast with a couple that the university has been courting. This isn't like a first, you know, they've been courting them. So there's six of them at breakfast. There's three couples. You've got the president and his wife, you get the board member and his wife, and you have this other couple. And the president said at the end of that breakfast, right, he got these words from me, okay? He said, he literally said to them, I'm not going to ask you for a gift today, but I'd like you to give careful consideration to making a significant investment in our institution, right? And I'm going to be calling you in a few weeks and we can talk about that. So, all right, that and the donor's like, yeah, okay, we will do that. And they had a great breakfast. So then, of course, the question is then, all right, I said, Clark, I said what you told me to say. Okay, we had this great meeting. I used that line. Now, when can I make the call? Right? When can I make the call? Making the call is the next thing, right? Hey, you said you were going to call. The next move is to make the call. But I'm like, wait a second. How do we add steps to the process? And I do this all the time. I am always adding steps. And I feel like many times the people I am coaching, they're like, seriously? Like, seriously, why are you adding all these steps? And the answer is because if you're not sure if you should take two steps or three, take four. Add steps. All right. But not this president, I should say. This president is great. So immediately after the meeting, he sends a handwritten note, right? He sends a handwritten note where he says, hey, how much he enjoyed the breakfast, how he appreciates the couple giving careful consideration to what kind of investment they'd want to make, how he looks forward to connecting with them again soon. All right, so that he added a step to the process. The president is like, okay, now can I make the call? And I'm like, wait, how do we add another step? Let's add another step. So what we did, we had the board member, right? The board member who was at this breakfast, the board member who'd set up the breakfast texted the prospective donor and said, so the president was going to make the call on a Saturday morning. On Friday, the board member texted this prospective donor. He said, I talked with the president today. He's planning on calling you tomorrow and he's excited about the call. All right. So there's a buildup here, right? The prospective donor texts back, I'm looking forward to the call. By the way, does this sound great? First of all, we're getting buy-in from this prospective donor along the way. We're prepping the donor also. If this couple hadn't taken the time to give careful thought to this request, that handwritten note, that's a prompt, right? It's like, hey, whoever checked the mail that day, that they see the note, hey, that night, right? It's like, honey, we got a note in the mail from the president today. What are we going to do? And they talk. And maybe it's just a 3 or 4 minute talk while they're turning down the bed and getting ready to call it a day. But it's a 3 or 4 minute talk and that note has prompted that conversation. And maybe it comes up a few days later, or they think about it separately on their own when they're driving to work the next day. And time passes, right? And then they get a text from the board member. And it's like, honey, the president, he's calling tomorrow. Right? What are we going to do? And the president called and the couple agreed to a $50,000 gift. Okay, this is is adding step. Okay, this, I should point out, this is adding steps to the process of an ask. But whatever it is you want to do next, think about how you can add steps to that process. Like, you want to ask for a visit? Instead of asking for a visit, what are the moves you can make, the steps you can add to the process before you ask for the visit? All right, is it, again, sometimes this drives people crazy. Is it efficient? We Americans so highly value efficiency. I don't know if it's efficient, but it's effective. And ultimately, inefficient or ineffective is not efficient, right? Ultimately, effective is the most efficient. So do what's effective. This is effective. Like, you want to ask for a visit, add steps to the process. Like, what are the two, before you ask for a visit, what are two or three moves you can make before you ask for the visit? You want to ask, you've asked for a gift. What are two or three moves you can make before you move into close? One of the reasons I like to plan out my calendar as far as I do is because I know if I'm going to San Diego in July, that means that sometime in June, maybe towards the end of June, I'm going to be asking for visits. So I want to be making moves in April and May, taking steps to increase the likelihood of getting those visits. If I've already asked for a gift and I want to follow up and see where we're at, I want to close, right? Rather than me calling and trying to close the gift, what are some other steps I can take, moves I can orchestrate to add steps to the process? Maybe utilizing a board member or a VIP or the president. Maybe it's a text. It could be a text. It could be an email. It could be a note. It could be a call. Hey, I know Clark asked you for a gift. I know he asked you for a big one. Clark and I talked about that today. And I want you to know I appreciate you giving careful consideration to this request. And let me know if there's anything I can help you with as you think about this. So, by the way, that's you're involving other people in the process. You're adding steps, but you're also, you're like making clear to the donor, this is a big deal. Like, people internally at the organization are talking about this. Like, we're all waiting with bated breath. Like, are you going to give the gift? All right, add steps to the process. So whatever it is that you want to ask for next, whatever that move that you, whatever it is, if I were to ask you, what's the next right thing, which is one of my things with donors, like, we always do the next right thing. Whatever the next right thing is, whether it's a visit or it's an ask or it's a close or whatever, ask yourself, how do I add 1, 2, 3 steps to the process? Make it more complicated. Good relationships are built on an accumulation of positive connections and interactions. So you want to accumulate lots of these, and you want multiple people involved, because relationships, right, between a donor and an institution are going to be stronger when there's lots of tentacles, not just you and the donor, but right, you've orchestrated moves to build a relationship between the donor and the president and a board member and a VIP, and right, you've involved other people, and there's other tentacles. Those are good relationships. All right, that's it for today. Hey, one final thing though. Right, so that's it on adding steps. Right, if you're not sure if you need to take 2 or 3 steps, take 4. But one final thing before I sign off today, peak performance cohorts. All right. So you may have heard about these group coaching calls that I am leading. We have another round of group coaching that's going to kick off soon. These are group coaching calls that are limited to 6 people. It's 12 weeks of calls for only $500. It's crazy. As an athlete, I love being challenged by my running and cycling buddies. I love skiing. I ski better when I'm skiing with other people than when I'm by myself. I climb better when I'm with other people because I'm being challenged. These people make me better. There's accountability. There's a bit of a competitive nature that kicks in. We become better in community, all right? Especially when we are in a community with people who share our commitment to excellence, all right? And that is true of athletics. It's true of the profession of fundraising. So get ready to start a new peak performance cohort. You can join, and I'm going to personally walk you through our flagship training, peak performance fundraising, and then you'll join me in a small group of peers who are wrestling through the same content you are, striving to be better fundraisers. So let's do this. This is something I've been thinking a lot about lately. I think we make a decision to be great, to do excellent work. I think that's a personal decision. But you work that decision out in community. You decide to be great alone, but you become great in community. So I'd love to have you in our next peak performance cohort starting in just a few weeks. They're limited to 6 people. I already have 4 of those spots taken. So if you can do math, we have 2 left. All right. If you're interested, all you got to do, email me. I'll get you all the relevant details. The email is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That's clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. All right. That's it. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
All right. Monica here again. If you like what you heard on this podcast, you'll love our online training programs. You can complete our online training programs at your own pace, and you can watch or listen to them from any device. And unlike that last conference you attended, the challenge questions and action steps that come with each of our modules will give you concrete things you can do today to level up as a fundraiser. You'll raise more money than ever before by developing deeper donor relationships than you ever thought possible. So head over to majorgiftsfundraiser.com to buy now. Thanks for listening.